In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Tuesday. And here's what we have. And I need you to pay attention to me because there is something that's going to be a little bit heavy in the beginning.
I'm about to read for you the heaviest, most heartbreaking thing I have ever read on this show. I have a reason behind it. Just stay with me. Then we'll move on to other things like big cities emptying, Wall Street specifically emptying, Joe Biden, Trump turning himself in tomorrow, COVID mandates coming back, getting what you voted for, the religion in America's public schools. All that and so much more is coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But I want to read something for you. I never read things for you on the show, and I certainly don't do too much heartbreaking stuff for your sake or my sake. And you know, I'm not an emotional person. I've had very few emotional tugs on the show. It's not like I get choked up here. I have occasionally come close talking about our guys who died in Afghanistan and otherwise, but that's not my thing. It's not an emotion. We Kellys, we don't do emotions. But I saw Joe Biden's comments from yesterday in Hawaii. I saw his comments where he lied about losing it. Well, here he was.
I don't want to compare difficulties, but we have a little sense, Jill and I, what it's like to lose a home. Years ago, now 15 years ago, I was in Washington doing Meet the Press. It was a sunny Sunday, and lightning struck at home on a little lake. It's outside of our home, not a lake, a big pond, and hit a wire and came up underneath our home into the heating ducts, the air conditioning duct. To make a long story short, I almost lost my wife, my 67 Corvette, and my cat.
That's all a lie, of course. Everyone's pointing that out today. You already know that. It was a small kitchen fire contained within 20 minutes. His wife, his cat, and his precious 67 Corvette, they were all fine. They were never in any danger. But I was thinking about, obviously, what a subhuman, soulless demon he is, and the rest of the communists are. And then I read this today from CBS News, and I don't know that I've ever read anything that broke my heart as much as this, especially when I compare it with the demons who run this country. This is from CBS News. This is an excerpt from the article I pulled out. Teenager Cairo Fuentes was enjoying his last day of summer vacation hanging out at his Lahaina home when the fire swept through. His adoptive mother, Luz Vargas, was working 5 miles away. She and her husband tried to get home to Fuentes as soon as they learned of the fire, but got stuck in traffic. When she got out of her car to run to the house, she faced a police barricade. Later, after running past officers, first responders told her the area had been cleared and no one was there. When they were finally allowed to go to their house 2 days later, they found the body of their 14-year-old son hugging the family's dead dog. He was just days away from celebrating his 15th birthday. Let me play it for you again.
I don't want to compare difficulties, but we have a little sense, Jill and I, what it's like to lose a home. Years ago, now 15 years ago, I was in...
I just wanted to remind you that you are the good guy and you are fighting against demons, and that you and me, we have to remind ourselves that we never have an option of giving up. If you need a break, you need to take a day off, a week off, walk away from it, fine. But we are in a battle against demonic people. And you can never give up, because we have to win. And these people cannot be allowed to win. I don't know what has to happen to the human soul to get up and talk about your freaking Corvette when a 14-year-old boy got cooked to death hugging his dog. God only knows, God have mercy, what was going through that poor child's mind in his final moments, the fear, the pain, and the president shows up to talk about his cat. Just remember, you're the good guy. Keep going, all right? All right. Now, speaking of all this, there's a lot of talk about the failure. People are starting to ask very, very difficult questions. The people of Maui are getting angry. They're asking very difficult questions. Here was Joe's welcoming party.
Wow, he's finally here. Wow, yeah.
Awesome, awesome.
Yeah, thanks for nothing. Thanks for nothing. You.
You can fill in the blanks on all the beeps going on. Not exactly well received. And I got this email here. Jesse, regarding the Maui fire, I can't help but have disdain for the police chief and fire chief, though we don't know their names. Why, as leaders, would you wait 5 hours, let alone 5 minutes, for authorization from some pencil pusher to release the water needed to fight a raging fire? Do they care more about their jobs rather than say, forget this idiot, this is what we're going to do, consequences be darned? Where's the fortitude? Maybe we should be sending Jock along, so on and so forth. Okay. Now I'm going to do something for you I hardly ever do, but I think it will help you and help me understand why we're seeing what we're seeing in places like Maui. Why not release the water? Why not just do this? Why not jump in to this moment as I speak to you? Why the cover-up? Well, how much do you know about Chernobyl, the nuclear disaster? I know you know what it is. The nuclear facility melts down in modern-day Ukraine. It was then part of the Soviet Union. And so I'm not going to insult your intelligence. I know you know what Chernobyl is. But if you want to understand what happened in Maui and why it happened, why wouldn't they sound the alarm? Why not release the water? Why not do this? Why are they still covering up? Why don't we know who's missing? Why don't we do that? I'm going to do something I don't know that I've ever done. I'm going to direct you to watch a piece of pop culture. Have I ever done that in my lifetime? I don't think I have. Or you can just read if you'd prefer to read, or maybe a podcast on it. But I'm going to play for you. What is it? A minute, 2 minutes, Chris? Minute or two? It's about a minute. About a minute 30. HBO did a miniseries, an incredible miniseries on Chernobyl, on the disaster. And this is from episode one. And I want to set up the scene for you. The disaster has happened. They know it's a disaster, and all the various Soviet officials gather around in a conference room. I'd play the whole thing for you if I could. It just wouldn't work for radio. And they start figuring out who's to blame. It's not me to blame. You're to blame. Okay, what should we do? Well, we can't do that. We can't do that. We can't do that. And a Soviet official stands up in front of them, and he gives this little speech. And if you want to understand why help didn't come, why the cover-up now, well, I'll let Chernobyl tell you.
What is its real name?
The Vladimir I. Lenin Nuclear Power Station.
Exactly. Vladimir I. Lenin. And how proud he would be of you all tonight. Especially you, young man. And the passion you have for the people. For is that not the sole purpose of the apparatus of the state? Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we fall prey to fear. But our faith in Soviet socialism will always be rewarded. Now, the state tells us the situation here is not dangerous. Have faith, comrades. The state tells us it wants to prevent a panic. Listen well. It's true. When the people see the police, they will be afraid. But it is my experience that when the people ask questions that are not in their own best interest, they should simply be told to keep their minds on their labor and leave matters of the state to the state. We seal off the city. No one leaves. And cut the phone lines. Contain the spread of misinformation. That is how we keep the people from undermining the fruits of their own labor. Yes, comrades. We will all be rewarded for what we do here tonight.
Have faith, comrades. Who tells you it's religion? And remember this little tidbit from there, which perked my ears up in particular, when he talks about, well, cops are going to cause a panic. Do I need to remind you of what the gentleman said, the gentleman who chose not to sound the alarm in Maui?
Do you regret not sounding the sirens?
I do not. The public is trained to seek higher ground in the event that the siren is sounded. In fact, on the website of the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency, if you are in a low-lying area near the coastline, evacuate to high grounds. Had we sounded the siren that night, we're afraid that people would have gone Mauka. And if that was the case, then they would have gone into the fire. And so that is the reason why our protocol has been to use WEA and EAS. By the way, I should also note that there are no sirens.
If you want to understand what you're seeing in Maui and in your country, go read about Chernobyl. Go watch the miniseries. You and your family will enjoy it. It's eye-opening about what communism does. And I'm not quite done on that. We'll finish up on that. And then we have so much more to get to tonight. Before we get to any of that, let's do make sure we are caring for ourselves, if you will. Part of caring for yourself is a good night's sleep. You know, I used to, no, I still do, but I know a bunch of friends who are hardcore into fitness and health and fitness and health. I am not, you know that. But one of the things they have just screamed about over and over and over again is a good night's sleep. Well, you got to get a good night's sleep, good sleep. And I always thought that was so odd until I started prioritizing my sleep, my mattress, my pillow, my sheets, my blankets, taking the time, spending the money and getting good stuff. What a difference in your life it makes when you sleep well. And thank you, MyPillow, for aiding me in that night's sleep. Their Giza Dream Sheets. Oh my gosh, you're going to sleep like a baby. Not only are they super soft, they breathe. No more waking up at 1 a.m. covered in sweat. Lowest price ever right now. MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square and use the promo code Jesse. Go now.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. It may be a heavier night, but that's just the way it's going to be because I have so much on this stuff we need to talk about. We are going to discuss things like the future. We're going to discuss what it looks like in blue areas. I'm going to get to this Wall Street losing businesses as people flee. This is going to be a big part of our future. We're going to talk about COVID mandates coming back. I'm even going to take phone calls next hour because I feel like everyone needs to get some things off their chest judging by the emails. But I want to come back to this again because we're discussing what our future looks like and what the future of not just Maui, I'm not just talking about that, what the future of so much of America looks like and why it looks that way. In fact, I'm going to play that clip from Chernobyl that I played about a minute and a half long. I'm about to play it for you again in its entirety, and we're going to discuss why it looks that way, because we have to understand the why to understand our government. You have a room full of men. There's been a nuclear explosion. They understand it's very, very dangerous. They understand people are going to die, civilians, firemen, otherwise. They sit around a room And all they can discuss is whose fault it is. It's not my fault. It's your fault. Wait, it can't be my fault. It has to be his fault. They discuss the things they have to do, not necessarily to repair it. Oh, yeah, that's a nice side item. But how do we cover it up? How do we make sure there's not any blame? Remember the first Soviet statement about Chernobyl that they put out? They were talking about American problems. Yeah, well, what about Three Mile Island? Go look it up. That's a real thing when they put it out. Let's pass blame. Let's do this. Let's not do that. But why? Play the clip again, if you wouldn't mind, in its entirety, Chris. This is just a scene from the HBO miniseries Chernobyl, which I would highly recommend to anybody who wants to understand what is now the American system in so many ways.
What is its real name?
The Vladimir I. Lenin Nuclear Power Station.
Exactly. Vladimir I. Lenin. Yes. And how proud he would be of you all tonight. Especially you, young man. And the passion you have for the people. For is that not the sole purpose of the apparatus of the state? Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we fall prey to fear. But our faith in Soviet socialism will always be rewarded. Now, the state tells us the situation here is not dangerous. Have faith, comrades. The state tells us it wants to prevent a panic. Listen well. It's true. When the people see the police, they will be afraid. But it is my experience that when the people ask questions that are not in their own best interest, they should simply be told to keep their minds on their labor and leave matters of the state to the state. We seal off the city. No one leaves. And cut the phone lines. Contain the spread of misinformation. That is how we keep the people from undermining the fruits of their own labor. Yes, comrades. We will all be rewarded for what we do here tonight.
Cut the phone lines. Prevent the spread of... What was that word he used, Chris? Michael? Starts with an M. Cut the phone lines. Prevent the spread of misinformation. Does that word sound familiar to you at all? Misinformation. Cut the phone lines. And why? Why cut the phone lines? It's important you understand that. It's important you understand the why. Why does he say things like, the state tells us, so we have to what? Have faith. The state tells us, so we have to have faith. What are they saying? What they're saying is you must, when it comes to every issue, whether it's illegal immigrants filling up New York City or a wildfire burning down Maui or whatever the issue may be, you must be kept in the dark for your own safety, of course, for your own good, of course, and you should be content staying in the dark. Why? Because you should have faith. The state has told you, and you must therefore have faith in the mask, have faith in the Hawaii response team, have faith in the heart exploding shot. Just have faith. The state tells you to have faith, and if you don't have faith, well, I guess
we're going to have to cut the phone lines. We can't have that misinformation being spread around out there. Now, can we? Have faith. You think that thing growing inside of you is a baby? The state has told you. The state told you that it's a clump of cells you should be able to dump at any time. Why don't you have faith? The state already told you. And if you're one of these people out there trying to say it has a heartbeat, it's a human. Well, we're going to have to do something to cut that off. That's going to distract the people from their labors. The people simply need to have faith because the state has said it's a clump of cells.
You must understand that clip I just played you to understand the country you now live in, period. And speaking of which, that is why it's so important for you and I to always speak truth about everything. Most importantly, that clump of cells. That's not a clump of cells. That's a God-breathed, God-created human being ready to be born and have a life. And that ultrasound you buy that woman with preborn, that's what lets her know the truth with all the state's lies. $28. Preborn.com/Jesse. $28. Go save her life tonight. All right? Sponsored by Preborn.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, digging into the state tells. Have faith. Don't you find it interesting? Don't you find it interesting? The words they used when they were telling people, telling officials to keep citizens in the dark, to lie to them. Again, from the series Chernobyl. Remember this?
And cut the phone lines. Contain the spread of misinformation.
Contain the spread of misinformation. Aren't you glad you don't live in some dump like that? Aren't you glad you live in the land of the free, where that kind of thing, you don't say that here.
Focus on certain kinds of speech, misinformation, disinformation.
A very targeted population for misinformation.
Disinformation is bad under any circumstances.
We are seeing a rise in misinformation and disinformation that is attempting to strike at the integrity of the election system.
One of the tactics that the protesters and demonstrators are using is misinformation.
Sounds like the objective of the board is to prevent disinformation and misinformation from traveling around the country in a range of communities.
That would be horrible to see people suffer and die because of disinformation.
We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation.
They should consider all options, including reviewing the licenses of physicians found to be spreading misinformation.
Anyway, let's talk a little bit more about the why before we get to Wall Street losing firms and all kinds of things. Let's talk a little bit more about the why. Why is that the culture? What creates a culture like that in Hawaii? The Soviet Union, New York, San Francisco. What creates that culture? Because you see that so often. You see that everywhere communism takes over, there's always this pass the buck mentality. It's not my fault. Just shut up. Cover everything up. Have faith in the state. Well, you can only understand that culture if you understand that it is a religion instead of a political ideology, and not just a religion, it is a false religion. Remember, it's devil worship. It's a false religion. The God is not real. There's no God there. It's just the devil. So because it's a false religion, everything has to be twisted around and everything has to be lied about in order to get people to worship the way they should worship. If you're in Carthage and Rome is attacking you and you believe that you must sacrifice the lives of children, you must burn them alive, throw them in a fiery pit in order to save your city. Well, how in the world am I going to convince a mother and a father to take the child they love? Remember, these children were grown. I believe they were at the age of 7 when they threw them in. Take the child you've loved for 7 years and then throw them in a fire. How can I do that? Well, I have to do a couple things. One, I must lie to you. I must convince you above anything else that that is for the greater good, that it is for your protection, the protection of everybody, the protection of society. I must lie to you about that. I must convince you that you are the good guy. Yes, burn your son alive. You're the good guy. I swear you're the good guy. Because it's a false religion, I have to lie to you. But lies are not enough. Because human beings are built. God made us with lie detectors inside of us. All of us have it. Some have better ones than others, but all of us have a lie detector inside of us. So inevitably, with a false religion, burn your child to save us from the Romans. With a false religion, you will have people who will begin to ask uncomfortable questions. People who will rebel. People who will say, that doesn't make sense. Wait, how does burning my child, you're telling me I have a God who wants me to burn my child alive? And if I do that, he's going to save the city? That doesn't sound like a God at all. That sounds like a big fat lie. Hold on, what is that? And because you know there will inevitably be questions that arise, you must create a culture of fear like they did in the Soviet Union, like they've done in Washington, D.C., like they did in Maui, like they did in New York City. You must create a culture of fear where people simply know the truth or want to ask a question, but they won't do it for fear of reprisal. I'm in the Soviet Union. I know we should shut this place down now. We need to evacuate these people now. We should be letting the other countries go now. Hey, shut up, pal. Do you want to get in trouble? What do you mean let people know? Evacuate? They didn't evacuate the people in Chernobyl for 36 hours. They let radiation rain down on their own citizens for 36 hours before they sounded the evacuation. You must make it a religion. And in order to get a culture like that, where people will serve the state and have faith in the state, because the state tells us the truth, you must create a culture of lies and fear. Everything has to be a lie at all times. Everything. Here was Dome.
Every day around the world, the impact of the climate crisis is stark and it is vivid. We are seeing it in real time. And of course, we are all praying for the people of Maui.
Hear how broken she is? But do you hear it in her voice? How she's been programmed? She's been programmed. Not only has Dome been programmed to repeat these talking points, whether she believes them or not, the truth of the matter is Dome could never get up there and simply express. She wouldn't even be allowed to simply get up there and say, I am so sorry, people of Maui. My heart is breaking for you. That's not allowed because that's not enough. How is that an appropriate tribute to God, to the communist God? I'm sorry, you can't just express sorrow. Where is your tribute to God? You see, she has to give it in the beginning before she can even pretend to express
any
sorrow.
Every day around the world, the impact of the climate crisis is stark and it is vivid. We are seeing it in real time. And of course, we are all praying for the people of Maui.
Oh, yes, yes. She's certainly praying. Spent a lot of time on her knees. The senator from Hawaii said this.
Well, I think we all have to understand that severe weather events are going to get more frequent and more severe. And I just think this is the new normal for not just the state of Hawaii.
Those are his own citizens. He cannot just get up and express sorrow, regret, help is on the way. He has a religion that demands certain things. There are certain things he must do, certain rituals. He must pay tribute to God before he can make any other statements. And if he doesn't, well, who knows what might happen to him? Remember this talk we had the longest time ago about, I'm sure you remember, I was talking about Eric Adams becoming mayor of New York City. And remember I said, because I had all these New Yorkers listening to the show. Again, shout out to the great 710 WOR. All these New Yorkers listen to the show. And they would say, trying to be hopeful, Jesse, I think he's going to be better. He's going to be better than Bill de Blasio. He's better than Bill de Blasio. No, 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 no. He used to be a cop. I know he's a Democrat. And what did I tell you then? I wasn't trying to be Debbie Downer. I was trying to wake people up to the reality of it. He doesn't have the option to be better. It's not an option. There's a reason he's been just as bad as de Blasio has been. He doesn't have the freedom. He is part of the culture of fear and deception. Even if Eric Adams wanted to get up there at a podium tonight in New York City and announce we are cracking down on crime, no more of this anti-cop stuff. We want the best, smartest people as part of the NYPD, and we're going to start smashing criminal heads and protecting the people of this city because I'm tired of vile criminal scum raping and murdering and pillaging this place. It ends now. Even if Eric Adams goes to bed every single night wanting to give that speech beyond anything else, he's not allowed. The religion prevents him from doing so. He's not allowed to get up and say, no, don't throw your kids into the burning pit. The religion, the state demands the kids be thrown in the burning pit, and he must follow the religion. And if he doesn't, speaking of the culture of fear, if he doesn't, if he strays, if he gets out of line, well, ask Andrew Cuomo how that goes. If he doesn't, he's gone. Career over. Bye-bye. That's the culture of communism. That's the culture of us now. Amazing, isn't it? Heartbreaking. All right. Speaking of that, speaking of New York, let's talk about a future. An ugly future, but one we have to discuss. But maybe let's bring some beauty into your life before we get to that. You know what's beautiful? A new phone. Because we hang on to our phones for a long time, way too long. I know why you do it. You do it the same reason I do it. Because phones are freaking expensive. You, of course, want a new phone. Your battery sucks. It lasts about 10 minutes. Your screen is cracked. Your phone doesn't operate like it used to. Of course, you want one, but who wants to go spend $1,000 on a brand new smartphone? Well, I got you covered there. Go sign up to Pure Talk. I know you've been thinking about it. Their unlimited talk, text, and 15 gig data plan. $35 a month, by the way. It comes with a free 5G Samsung Galaxy phone. Free 5G Samsung Galaxy phone. You get that for switching to a patriotic phone company that shares your values and saving money while you do it. Congratulations. I just got you a brand new phone. Pick up yours. Pick up your crappy phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. 10 minutes on the phone, you'll be switched. #250, say Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I know that's been heavy. That's been a lot. It's been incredible, if I may say so myself. What, Chris? It's been incredible. But I have some good news, bad news, horrible news. I don't even know how to say this, so I'll just give you the news. After all, I am a journalist. I'm kidding. I'm not doing that right now. COVID stuff. Mandates and things like that. They're coming back. And I'm not even, look, about 10 minutes from now, I'm going to dig into all this and I'm going to address all this and we'll get into what's happening now and the why and everything else. I just, after all that communism talk and all that stuff, I didn't have the heart to do it again. Now you're going to have to give me a 10 minute break. Okay. And I swear, like with everything going on, we've got a GOP debate tomorrow night and all that other stuff.
I was thinking I was going to let you make some calls tonight. Not yet. Do not call in yet. Do not call in. It's going to be a while. It might be another half hour, 45 minutes, but do some calls and just kind of churn through it. But I wanted to get to this. Do you remember that guy? He's a world famous author. And Chris? You don't even know what I'm going to say. He's a world famous author. You don't know who I'm talking about. He's a world famous author, and he has this big radio show, and he has a TV show that's on the first TV at every night at 9 p.m. Anyway, that guy, remember when he's been telling you that we're going to see a different kind of city in the future in America than one we've known? And he's been telling you that because half the office space available is empty. Businesses are not leasing office space anymore with all this work from home crap. Half the office space is empty. And because of the horrific violent crime in the cities. Remember that guy? I think his name is Jesse, if I remember right. He's been telling you that that's coming. And so a headline today from the New York Post says New York loses $1 trillion in Wall Street businesses and Wall Street business as firms flee the city. Here's a problem, a huge problem that's coming for the cities. This is a gigantic problem and something they can't avoid. There's a give and take with everything, including where you live. Now, let's talk about this for a moment. I don't live in the city. I don't live in Houston proper. I live out in the hinterlands. Now, why do I live in the hinterlands? I live in the hinterlands because it's extremely safe. There's no violent crime. My neighbors are all on the right. They all share my values. They're all armed. We communicate. It's one of those white picket fence. You'll drive home. You have to drive slow because the kids are playing soccer in the street type neighborhoods. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. I love living there. Now, that's awesome, right? That's a good give. But there are negatives. What are the negatives? You leave the city. I could live in Houston. I could live in some apartment in downtown Houston, condo or something. Why don't I? Well, we'll get back to that in a minute. What are the negatives of living where I live? The restaurant selection kind of sucks. And the restaurants are great around here, don't get me wrong. But if I want to eat a delicious Mexican meal, and I love Mexican food, and there's great Mexican food everywhere down here, I have a 15-minute drive no matter what. 15-minute drive. And that's as good as it gets. If I want to go see a concert, Guns N' Roses is coming to town next month. If I want to go see a concert, I will drive an hour both ways to go see a concert. If the wife and I decide we want to go out on Friday, if she wants to do something dorky like she often does and sing karaoke or something like that, because that's the way she is, I probably have a couple places close by, but not many. I will probably have to drive into the city. That's half hour, 45 minutes at least. I have things that I enjoy that are inconvenient now because I don't live in the city. Now, let's talk about New York City. There's a give and take. Everyone knows this. You know this, obviously. What is the give? Well, my goodness. You're not 15 minutes away from an amazing meal anywhere in New York City. If you're more than five, I don't know where you are. I don't know. You're trapped in an elevator if you're more than five. I go to New York City and I gain 10 pounds in 2 days every time I go. I'm going again next month. I freaking love the place. So food, yeah. What if I want to see a concert? I should have done it beforehand. What if I pulled up my phone right now and looked how many concerts were playing in New York City tonight? It's a Tuesday. There's probably a million great acts playing tonight. Anything I want is there. But what's the takeaway? There's a take, give and take, right? Well, it's a little bit unsafe. There are places where it's unsafe. I don't mean everywhere. There are places where it's really unsafe. The problem for these communist-run cities now is the take is starting to take too much. If you're a big firm, you're a big business, you want to set up shop in New York City because New York City is the most important city in the world and it feels sexy and glamorous and some young hotshot you're recruiting out of Harvard, he wants to move to New York City and chase dimes around and whatnot. But at some point in time, when he steps over his fifth pile of poop on the sidewalk in 3 days, he doesn't want to live like that anymore. Once you make these places, once you have too much take and not enough give, Once you allow the communists to run them for too long, no, this rapist can go free. No, no, don't worry about those heroin needles. It'll be fine. Once the take becomes too much, then soon the taxes and fees and everything else, they're not worth it. I'm not paying extra taxes to live in New York City, to run my firm out of New York City. No, it's not worth it anymore. Why? Because last night I had an important client I called and I told him to come to town so we can go out for steaks. And he told me no, because he stepped in pee last time he was here and we should go meet in Austin, Texas instead. Once the take becomes too much and it's becoming too much, Ghostland is coming. Telling you the future is different than anything we've experienced yet. Anything. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is we have experienced something yet. We've experienced something already, I should say. And we're about to experience it again. That's the good news. The bad news is much worse. So we'll get to that in just a moment. Before we get to that, let's talk about good things like heroes. You know, these guys who go overseas, Iraq, Afghanistan, and they fight for us. We have so much admiration for them, don't we? We do. And we love them. But at the same time, we tend to forget about them when they come back home. And remember, these are young men mostly. Young men who oftentimes they'll come back home and they don't have a left arm. They don't have a leg or either leg. They have lost eyesight, hearing. These young men are yearning for a quality of life now. Tunnel to Towers builds catastrophically injured veterans smart homes so they can have a quality of life. When you give your $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers, you're making sure these guys know they're not forgotten. And believe me, that means a lot to them. It does. 11 bucks a month is what Tunnel to Towers asks for. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.